Morning, and thanks for coming. It's good to see you all. Been blessed with a beautiful day. If you have a Bible, please be turning to Proverbs chapter 14, please. Proverbs chapter 14. We have so many blessings to be thankful for, material and spiritual, among which is the convenience and the privilege that we have to come here and worship God and encourage one another, and to do so without fear of persecution and any real threat of danger. I think that's fair to say. You know, we face so little adversity in our life and serving God, and maybe we don't pay as much attention to that adversity as we should, and think about how maybe we should prepare for it. Look over in Proverbs chapter 14 with me, please, and begin reading in verse 10. Actually, that's the only verse that we're going to read, so just read verse 10 with me. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joys. You know, we all have burdens, and not everyone can relate to those burdens that we have internally, that we struggle with, as is the principle that's mentioned here. Paul elsewhere was saying in 1 Corinthians 2:11, no man knows the mind of man except the spirit of man, which is in him. Again, speaking to that principle, no one can really perfectly sympathize with what's going on in your heart and your mind except for you. And these can be anything that causes anxiety, maybe even to the point that we just lose sleep over them. And if we do manage to put them out of our mind, we can still be so easily reminded of them, can't we? Just some seemingly harmless event can cause us to be reminded of them. This could be like sickness or a family member who maybe has a terminal illness, maybe financial problems, trouble that we may be having with our spouse. All these kinds of things can be issues that we struggle with, can be burdens that we carry and that we have to deal with. And not everyone is able to perfectly sympathize with those weaknesses. And strong men of the faith have had similar burdens, haven't they? Elijah, after this momentous event on Mount Carmel, and proving to all these pagans that there is only one God. Afterwards, when he is fleeing for his life and Jezebel's after him, he says that I'm so depressed that I want to die, basically. He struggled with it. He struggled with depression and sadness. Paul had a mysterious ailment that he mentions in 2 Corinthians 12, that he says, there's a thorn in my flesh. I've asked for it to be removed several times, but God has told me, no, my grace is sufficient to you. The burden that he carried, and Peter also, the rock, Matthew 26 and verse 75, as many good things as we remember him for, he went out and wept bitterly after he denied the Lord. Do you think he remembered that moment with disgust later in his life, that mistake that he made? And perhaps we have a weakness that we are disgusted with ourselves for having. You know, there's lots of external forces as well that can cause us, that can be adversity for us. And that's what we're going to focus on almost specifically this morning. But the principles that we're going to see that the Scripture has to teach us about dealing with those external forces of adversity, I think will also help us with the internal ones that we face as well. Let's look at a very specific example in Jeremiah. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 11, please. Jeremiah chapter 11. And just to get us some context about what this prophet is going through, this plight that he has, we recall that Israel, 200 years earlier, had succumbed to sin, this northern kingdom, and they had been taken away into slavery by Assyria. Now, Judah has done the same, this place where Jeremiah is, the southern kingdom, and they're going the same way, and sin is rampant. Look over in Jeremiah 11, begin reading with me in verse 6. Jeremiah says, "The Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the words of this covenant and do them. For I solemnly warned your fathers in the day that I brought them up from the land of Egypt, even to this day, warning persistently, saying, listen to my voice. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked each one in the stubbornness of his evil heart. Therefore I brought on them all the words of this covenant which I commanded them to do, but they did not." God says each and every single one of them is disobeying. Even though I persistently warned them, they have continued to be stubborn and they are evil, each and every one of them. And they would be conquered. They were going to be punished for the sin in the same way that Israel, the northern kingdom, had been punished. Pick up where we left off in verse 9. The Lord said to me, a conspiracy has been found among the men of Judah, among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and they have turned back to their iniquities of their ancestors who refused to hear my words. And they have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am bringing disaster on them, which they will not be able to escape. Though they will cry to me, I will not listen to them. Their punishment was coming. And now it falls to Jeremiah to spread this message. You've gone too far. Your sin has finally found you out. It's caught up with you. And God is going to allow us to be conquered by the Babylonians. And we're going to be led away. And Jeremiah, it should come as no surprise to us, is going to be hated for this message, isn't he? Look over in Proverbs 29:27, a principle that we're familiar with, that we see played out perhaps every day in our own lives in circumstances, but that we will also see that Jeremiah had. Proverbs 29, verse 27, we find the simple truth that an unjust man is abominable to the righteous and the upright, and he who is upright in the way is abominable to the wicked. So the righteous is an abomination to the wicked is an abomination to the righteous. Jeremiah would have known this, and he would have expected to be hated. In fact, he endured attempts on his life. Go back to chapter 11, where we were. This time, jump down to verse 18. Jeremiah 11 and verse 18. He says, Moreover, the Lord made it known to me, and I knew it. Then you showed me their deeds, but I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. And I did not know that they had devised plots against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. People were out to get him, and they were serious about their hate for Jeremiah. They wanted to cut him off, that his name may be remembered no more, utterly destroy him. And he endured the scorn of his people as well. Jump down to chapter 12 now with me. Begin reading in verse 1. Here Jeremiah says, righteous are you, O Lord, that I would plead my case with you. Indeed, I would discuss matters of justice with you. Why has the way of the wicked prospered? And why are all those who deal in treachery at ease? You have planted them, and they have also taken root. They grow, they have even produced fruit. They are near to you in their lips, but far from you in their mind. But you know me, O Lord. You see me, and you examine my heart's attitude toward you. Drag them off like sheep for the slaughter, and set them apart for the day of carnage. How long is the land to mourn, and the vegetation of the countryside to wither? For the wickedness of those who dwell in it, animals and birds have been snatched away, because men have said, he will not see our latter ending. So what's going on? The wicked are actually prospering. These people who are out to get Jeremiah, not listening to his message, they're comfortable and they're doing great. And that's exactly the same pattern that we can see around us today, isn't it? More or less, that wicked seem to prosper, yet those who are serving God and wanting to do the right thing so often suffer for it. What is God's response to Jeremiah? Well, essentially, he tells him, you need to learn to compete with horses. Now, that might sound strange to us at first, but look in verse 5, picking up right where we left off, still in chapter 12, verse 5, the Lord says, if you have run with footmen and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? If you fall down in the land of peace, how will you do in the thicket of Jordan? So what's he saying there? He's saying tougher times are coming. And Jeremiah, you're going to need to learn faster. And also you're going to need to learn faster while facing more obstacles and dangers. In the land of Jordan that is used here as the figure for the dangers that he would face in Jeremiah 49, we can find that it was a land that was filled with lions. Of course, they've been hunting out today. But that was a danger, a real danger that he would have had to have faced. Now, if someone becomes discouraged, here's the question. If someone has become discouraged in a peaceful land, how are we going to cope when things get tough? How are we going to compete when things get really tough? You know, we live in a country today that even the poorest of us, by the world standards, are wealthy. And we have a very peaceful land. We don't face, as I mentioned, real threat and persecution. You know, our lives aren't threatened like Jeremiah when we come here to serve and worship our God. When we face no real opposition to worshiping God. But how would we work through this adversity. We know that it is going to come. 2 Timothy 3:12, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will face persecution. And what did Jesus say over in John chapter 16? John chapter 16, verse 33. What was the promise that was given to his disciples then? It is the same now. Verse 33, John 16, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. For in the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Adversity will come as sure as you're born, as sure as you're born again. If you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to serve God, adversity is going to come. Now, the question that we need to ask ourselves, are we going to allow that to hurt us or are we going to use it to help us? Isn't that the question that essentially James is getting at over in James chapter 1? Verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. Reconsider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Our faith is tested all the time. And people whose faith are tested sometimes don't prevail. And sometimes it ends up that they lose their faith because they become so discouraged. But James says it doesn't have to be that way. You can use that to become stronger. You know, the secular proverb is whatever doesn't kill you can only make you stronger. And that's true of our faith. And there is nothing that can stand against us when we serve God. And we'll look at that in a little more detail later. But we're going to allow these trials, this adversity, are we going to allow that to hurt us? Or are we going to use it to become stronger? Let's talk about strength training. Now, you know, one of the ways that we can give ourselves an edge is spiritual preparedness. Look over in Hebrews chapter 5 with me. Hebrews chapter 5, down in verse 12. Excuse me, what does the writer say? For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, and who, because of practice, they have their senses trained to discern good and evil. He expected his audience to grow, and some of them haven't. Some of them have been lacking and been neglectful in their progress. And he says, that's not how it ought to be. You should be teachers by now, but you're having to relearn these things that you should have already learned. And he says the evidence of this is that you are not accustomed to the word of righteousness. Not accustomed to the word of righteousness. Revelation of God, what we have before. So we need to dig in and study and become sharper by the word of God. Look over in 1 Timothy with me now. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 8. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, Paul says. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Does an athlete become strong by going on strolls through his neighborhood every once a week? No. It takes discipline and diligence and giving himself to training in order to get stronger, in order to become better. And the same is true in spiritual things. You know, sometimes burdens are so heavy or seem so heavy, not because they are, but because we are so weak and we have allowed ourselves to get to that point. We haven't been conditioning ourselves by the word of God. We haven't been striving to grow stronger. And I think that's the message that we see in Jeremiah. Learn to compete with horses. Thickets and dangers and more obstacles may be coming. In Jeremiah's case, they were coming. And God says, you need to get ready. You need to prepare and pull yourself up and start getting stronger. And that is the message for us. You know, we will always face internal and external forces that attempt to hinder our service to God. Now, are we taking advantage of these times of peace? You know, thinking specifically about opposition, external opposition. Again, we don't really face any of that. Are we taking advantage of it? or are we sitting on our hands and getting weaker? You know, there are countries today where it is illegal for Christians, I'm sure as you're aware, to gather to worship. In fact, some face death and have been sentenced to death because of their belief and simply because they want to serve God. Now, that would that stop you if that were the case here? You know, so many folks, it seems like, are filled with this false bravado. That's not going to stop me. No way. I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to go to death. Maybe say something like Peter. You know, he was so confident. But when the time came, what happened? What played out? Now, he ran for his life. He wasn't ready, even though he thought he was. We need to ask ourselves, when was the last time that I didn't come to services because I didn't feel like it? I just didn't want to. Or Bible class, for that matter. You know, if we're not willing to do that in times of peace, do you think you'd be able to stand up for yourself in a country? Or be willing to serve God where your life would be threatened, where your life would be on the line? Well, absolutely not. We have already been beaten here in a peaceful time, and we're not ready to compete when times are going to get real tough. And we need to take such questions to heart and honestly answer those things for ourselves. We must be determined. Look over in 1 Peter with me. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, down in verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter says, testing gold for its worth is the same as you being tested for your faith, to see that if it is genuine, if it is pure. And the fire burns very easily today, doesn't it? There's lots of things that can test our faith. Are we walking worthy of the gospel, though? Are we failing that test? Are we proving to be unworthy? Are we fleeing for our lives, so to speak, and not standing up for God? We need to be determined that we are going to be pure, that we are going to be found as truly God's people and His willing servants. And we can overcome anything. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation that has overcome you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And He Himself will provide the way of escape. The way of escape is there. Look over in Romans chapter 8 with me. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. A simple statement, but a very powerful one from the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Notice the question, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? To ask the question is to answer it, isn't it? Nothing can stand against us if God is on our side and if we are His servants, if we are living for Him. And the Lord will always be with us. Look at our promise over in Hebrews chapter 13 that we can take comfort in and encouragement from. Hebrews chapter 13 now. Down in verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. He says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, notice, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Is that your attitude? Do you have that kind of faith and confidence in your God? Do you believe what He has said, and He will never leave you nor forsake you, that you can overcome anything with His help? He will always be with us. And we need to remember that heaven awaits. Stay in Hebrews, but this time go back to chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Down in verse 6, and then we'll jump down to verse 12. So verse 6 beginning, Hebrews 3. But Christ was faithful as a son over His house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. There it is again. Stand firm. Be steadfast. Hold your confidence. Go down to verse 12. Again, he says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. Two times in these passages that we've read, he says, you stand firm. You hold fast your hope. You hold fast your confidence. And also, what is the instruction about encouraging one another? Day after day. Certainly, we are to stimulate one another unto good works, as the same writer will say in chapter 10. And we can, the assembly is a perfect time for that. And it's very easy to do that. But are we looking for opportunities day after day to help our fellow soldiers in Christ, to help them overcome the adversity that they may be facing in their life, and allow nothing to bring you down? Look over in Galatians chapter 6 with me now. Galatians chapter 6. So much of it is in our head, how we respond to adversity, as we noticed from James. Is it going to tear us down, or are we going to use it for our advantage? Galatians chapter 6, down in verse 9, look at what Paul says here. He says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. What is your and my responsibility? Again, while we have opportunity, do good to those, to all people, but especially who? Our brethren, those who are of the household of faith. And he says, do not grow weary in doing good. Well, how can we do that? How can we not grow weary in doing good? We're going to need lots of help, aren't we? What's our most critical place of help? Who can we look to for the most help? Look over in Isaiah chapter 40 with me now. One of our final passages, Isaiah chapter 40. And verse 28, beginning with me, please. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. How are we going to learn to compete with horses? How are we going to condition ourselves to be stronger? Again, as our main question that we're trying to answer. Verse 28, beginning Isaiah 40. Do you not know, have you not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired? His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. And though youths grow weary and tire, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength, and they will mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not get tired. They will walk, and they will not become weary. We must be on the Lord's side, and we must have him as our ally if we are to compete with horses, if we're going to be ready when times get tough, and rely on him to give us new strength when we are reared. One more passage. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And verses 4 and 5. Just two more verses. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. Final word of encouragement. John says, for whatever is born of God, notice, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? There it is. Same principle again. You want to overcome, you want to be strong, then you must believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, as your Savior. And have you done that this morning? Have you made that decision? And are you ready to? Do you find that faith within your heart, and you're ready to confess it and change your life for the better? All things are ready for that final step, for you to be baptized in his name and to begin a new walk with him. If there's something that we can do to help some spiritual need that you have this morning, then why not make it known? Why not make it known today and come forward and make it known as we stand and sing to encourage you?